This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't go and let Satan blow it up. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it up. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it up. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
This little light of mine,
I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine,
let it shine.
Thank you, Sarah. Just on, Brother Mark, if you want to come help us take off. Praise the Lord. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. As he's passing that around, let's stand to our feet. Amen. Let's sing number page 600. I got it as D, Sister Esther Adam, but I'm not sure if that'll be right. Just give me, we'll try it in that. Oh, you don't know? Okay. All right. How many know this song, Jesus Signed My Pardon? All right, well, let's sing it. If you don't know it, you'll learn it today. Jesus signed my pardon. This I surely know. He took my place on Calvary. Now I don't have to go. All my life I give to Him. He gave His for me. When He signed my pardon, there at Calvary. Sing that again. Jesus signed my pardon. This I surely know. He took my place on Calvary. Now I don't have to go. All my life I give to Him. He gave His for me. When He signed my pardon, there at Calvary. Once again, Jesus signed my pardon. This I surely know. He took my place on Calvary. Now I don't have to go. All my life I give to Him. He gave His for me. When He signed my pardon there at Calvary. Oh, I was in sin's prison. Oh, so dark and cold. Like a lost sheep wandering from God's eternal fold. And then the door sprang open and He spoke to me. I have signed your pardon. Now you can go free. Oh, Jesus signed my pardon. This I surely know. He took my place on Calvary. Now I don't have to go. All my life I give to Him. He gave this for me. When He signed my pardon there at Calvary. Oh, I was a sin's prison. Oh, so dark and cold. Like a lost sheep wandering from God's eternal fold. And then the door sprang open and He spoke to me. I have signed your pardon. Now you can go free. Jesus signed my pardon. This I surely know. He took my place at Calvary, so I don't have to go. All my life I give to Him, He gave His for me. When He signed my pardon, there at Calvary. One more time. Oh, Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. He took my place at Calvary. Now I don't have to go. All my life I give to Him. He gave His for me. When He signed my pardon there at Calvary. Oh, when He signed my pardon there at Calvary. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank God for His pardon. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's go ahead and have Brother Wade come. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart. We're ready to have the Lord open your heart through His word. The eyes of your heart. Amen. We don't just want to hear words. Amen. We just want to be changed by the word. Amen. Sometimes we just listen, but nothing happens. We want to be changed by the word. Amen. Praise God. So let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to hear You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see You. Yes, I want to see You, to see You high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. As we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory, pour out Your power and love as we sing.
See Him, look in the Word. That's exactly where He's coming from. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you here today. And let's give these new girls a hand right here. These new girls, look at what they're saying. And let's look at all these old, give these old people a hand. All these older ones. These old spicy ones. And these real old, where'd Donnie go? He slipped out. Oh, he slipped out. Man. We had a good time last night. You really learn something about each other every time you go. Good and indifferent are bad, huh? We did, but we'll do it again. Yep. He does the paying for it, or y'all do the paying for it, and then Mom and Lisa and Anna go up and set it up, and then last night everybody pitched in and got that thing broke down in about 15 minutes. So we give yourself a hand. But it didn't take long for us to get finished. But we had a good time in the Lord. But that was just as I was thinking, you know, we have a lot of serious time and we feast around the Word. Well, we feasted around a natural meal and talked about things that we did and grew up together and all that. So we just all kind of all grew up together anyway, you know. So, Donnie, did you turn that off? Thank you. Oh, brother. Is it time to... Let's bow our heads. We'll dismiss. Brother, we're just getting started, okay? Good to be in the house of the Lord. Man, glad the lights work. By way of announcing a little more about what we've got going, Sister Rachel, April 27th. Okay. April the 27th, we will have our spring fling at the city park like we always do. So it will be April the 27th. We're going to try to schedule these things together. I sat down the other night for about an hour and scheduled my whole calendar till the end of the month. I mean, the end of the year. So maybe you need to do that sometimes and stuff won't jump out on you or jump up on you. So April the 27th, we'll have our spring fling festival down at the City Park in Gillsville, so keep that in your mind. That gives you a long time to remember it. All right. Also, March the 7th through the 19th, I'm going to the Philippines, so we're getting emails back and forth, and we're going to try to do a few specific things while we're there, and then be with Brother Danny and his meeting, and be with Brother Royal and his meeting, just like we did before a few years ago. So just keep us in your prayers. And as we get ready to go. So also remember too, if you wish, instead of doing it March the 2nd, I thought, well, maybe we'd do it before Bible study and, but there's some that's not going to be able to attend. So why don't we change it and do it Sunday afternoon while everybody's here? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Sunday afternoon, make sure if you're an officer of the church to be here. And if you attend the church, you can come too because you will be here. 4 seconds. Sister Gail, you laugh, but you really have to tell. So it'll be March the 3rd. So it'll be the 3rd of March. All right, let's get started. Revelation 6, verse 12. Really remember Brother Cody's family at Brother Dutch's. That was rough. The little brother just went in with blood clots in his leg, and he passed away because one of them moved and went into his heart or his brain one and took him.
I'm sorry, I've forgotten it now. I talked to the lawyer, and that land over there is ours.
It is ours.
It's ours. His dad is getting somebody to survey it, but the land is our half ours and half theirs. So I've got it.
For those of y'all that did not know it, I think we already announced it, but it's been a month or so ago. The city of Lula never wanted to sell that property because of the well. That used to be the city well years ago. And they cut it off and they're using the well somewhere else. Well, anyway, they didn't want to ever sell this. Well, they come up the other day and just wanted to get rid of some property. So they gave us half of this property, the grass part, because we never owned that. We just owned really right up to where our awning is. So we got now to where the basketball court is, and Brother Buster and them, they gave them the other half of that lot. So we own the two. There's no lot in between us anymore. We own that part, the church does, and this little white building right here. And Buster and them owns from there up to about where that basketball goal is. So, and the city of Lula gave it to us. I hope the city of Lula gets a blessing from that. Amen. Let's give him a hand. We just had to pay for, the church paid for the closing cost, which was several hundred dollars, but still, we got property, $400. He pitched in $400, and we pitched in $400, and the land now is ours, so we can pave it, so we can, don't have mud everywhere. We can pave that part and be able to accommodate a few more cars. So thank God for that. They just come up one day, and I read it in the paper, and they said they were just going to give us the land. So that's great. Yeah, being a city council member, I know how to do it. You can abandon property. In other words, they didn't want to maintain it. So they just said, well, since you're attached to it, we'll give it half to you and half to them. So that's what's going on there. So just think that if you ever see anybody in the city of Lula, just thank them because they gave it to us. They didn't have to. They were gracious enough all these 50 years to let us use it as parking, but now we own it so we can pave it and we can, you know, do some things. So just keep that in your heart and your prayer. Revelation 6, verse 12. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that we have here to serve you. Set aside just a little bit of time, Lord, to talk about you. There's a lot of things that we have, Lord, that we want to say, but Lord, if you don't say them, then it's just me saying them, and I pray that you'd do the speaking today, Lord. You be the one that does the revealing, Father, because without you here, Lord, we're nothing. Lord, just come and anoint us all today, this whole building, Father. Just anoint us and take care of us through this journey of life. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you for giving us life, and now you've given us eternal life. So, Lord, what more do we have to praise you, Father, that you thought enough of us to bring, Lord, eternal life to each and every one of us? Father, we pray that you'd forgive us of our sins today and our many mistakes. Be with the family there, Brother Dutch Scott's, losing the young brother, Lord. You're the Prince of Peace. And Lord, I pray that you'd give them peace that passes all understanding, Father. And give them solace in time of trouble, that you would be with that whole family, Lord, and just take care of them. Hold them in your mighty arms, Lord. We can ask for nothing else. Money couldn't buy it, nothing. You just hold them in your arms, Lord. And be with them, Father. Just take care of each one today. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Also remember Sister June and I and Deanna and Toby are going to leave this afternoon right after service. We're going to her dad's house since we're off tomorrow. So tomorrow's President's Day, if you didn't know that. The government gives me time off on President's Day. So Revelation 6, verse 12. And I beheld when it opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth its untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. All this has got something to do with nature. All right. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains, the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. That one's sitting on the throne. And from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You may be seated, Lord. As I was thinking this morning, well, Brother Dale, let me just just let you think about something. You know, if it's pouring down rain and thunder and lightning, you don't want to be on the building. You want to be in the building. And that's what he's talking about with this throne. You don't want to be on the throne. Things can happen. But once you're in the throne, you're protected by whatever's sitting there on that throne. Amen? So you're protected. You're not on. You're in. You're in this building, and we have the protection of this building. So I don't want to be found on Christ. The Bible says in Christ. Amen. I want to be found in him, having not my own righteousness. So here we are with this sixth seal. We were talking last Sunday about the two prophets and the two prophets. I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, we look at the two prophets and we know that it's the ministry of Moses and Elijah, right? Amen. So we can see now that even like Brother Branham said that once the seal opened, that it became a brand new book, and then you could take the seals all the way back into the Bible, and he said you can go all the way back into Genesis with the seals. Amen? So we look and see that who was in the book of Genesis was Abraham. Abraham and all those coming down through as what? Different types. Then you see, you go on in a little bit further in the Bible, and you see a man named Elijah come in. Then you see the man called Moses there before Elijah. We see all that coming in Leviticus, Exodus, down to Samuel and into the Kings. And we see these people, it's, I don't want to say this. I'm trying to say it the way I thought it, but you know, the seal didn't open in the Old Testament. We know that. But a precursor to that did open because there stands Moses. Moses does all this right here, turns the Nile to blood and does all these things. Then a man called Elijah comes on the scene. He stands on the scene in the Old Testament, and he's calling no rain for 3.5 years. He's calling all these different plagues. Moses, so the sixth seal is not something, I don't want any of the seals to be something. I want them to be, it is mysterious, and it is, but it's happened all the way down through the time, through the Bible. The seals are all the way from Genesis, all the way to the book of Revelations. You see parts of the seal. Maybe not the part that's open, because see, we don't even see the opening of the sixth seal in its natural state. Because we're not here when the two prophets are doing their job, right? So, but we must see it open in our form, the form we can see it. So we look back in the Old Testament, and that thrilled me, because then what you do is you're not so narrow-minded to say, well, it just all happened in the book of Revelation. No, it didn't just happen in the book of Revelation. It was spoken all the way down, even when Cain slew Abel because of his doctrine. There was a doctrinal issue back in the book of Genesis, the very first chapter, 1, 2, and 3, 4 down in there. There was a doctrinal issue that they killed over. Amen. So we see the seals then all the way down through time, coming all the way through, even into the church ages, we see little pieces of it. But the very opening of that sixth seal is going to be when we leave here. We're gone out of here, and then that's when it's going to happen. The two prophets, I don't see how that they can begin preaching until we leave. Because they are to the Jews only. They have nothing to do with us. It is totally, as Brother Branham says, you don't see the bride anywhere in this. It's just to Israel. All right, the two prophets are not Gentile prophets. They are Jewish prophets. Remember, they won't take, you can send whoever you want to over there. Israel will only believe their people. Especially when you're trying to convert 144,000 staunch Jews that are over there now. Right. I mean, they're there now. Right. If we think, and we know, we don't think, we know the end is not too far away. Even if it's 10 years from now, the people, everyone, I was thinking about this, every actor in the play is on the stage. Right. We're not waiting for Jesus to be born. Right. You understand what I'm saying? We're not waiting for the two witnesses to get born, naturally born. Right. They're here. They're somewhere over there, and they're waiting. They may be just walking through life, doing their job, building this, building that, building car, doing whatever. And then all of a sudden, when we leave, that anointing is going to strike them. Amen? So what is this whole sixth seal waiting on to open? It's waiting on me and you to get out of here. Amen? It's waiting on us to leave here, get the supernatural part of that seal, get the thunder. Because, see, they don't get the thunder. We get the thunder. Their thunder, or their opening of the seal, is what that part of that is, the opening of that seal. Brother Brown said it's those two prophets. So there's not a mystery when they come forth. They're already in the Bible. Tells you exactly how long they're going to preach. 1,260 days. No more, no less. Tells you who they are. The two witnesses. Ministry of Moses and ministry of Elijah, and it will be verified and vindicated. All right? I did a few years ago preach on the cup of Elijah, and that it's true. See, they go back and it's kind of odd. They take Malachi. The Jews take Malachi 4, but not the way we have it. The Jews take Malachi 4 as Elijah's got to show up before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Well, that's the Old Testament. See, you got to remember, the Jews over there don't use the New Testament, so they may study it and first one thing another, but that's, to them, it's not a book. It's the Old Testament. So you got to go into the Old Testament, see the works of Moses and Elijah, then come up to Malachi and says, in the days of the voice, that's Revelation. But it says, behold, I will send you, Elijah the prophet, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Well, they're waiting on that Elijah. Amen? Our eyes have been opened to know who that Elijah is. They missed number four. All right? But they're getting number five, which is going to be the same ministry continued on. Same message. Same ministry continued on into the next Elijah. But they're looking for Elijah to come. They have five cups. It's kind of strange. The five comings of Elijah. Elijah, Elisha, John the Baptist, Brother Branham, and the one going to Israel. That's five. They have five cups of Elijah in their ceremony in Israel. So see, they're so close though that they missed that Malachi though. Malachi 4. We get that. We're gone. That one takes us away before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And then you got to go over though and see, then they got to start the two. You know what the two prophets are going to do? They're going to turn them from that Old Testament thought. That's why God had to take you and change your thought from that old way to the new way. So he's going to take that. Those two prophets, they're not going to walk in there and start quoting Galatians and Ephesians. And they're going to go just like Paul did. Paul went into the Old Testament, brought Jesus Christ right out of the Old Testament and gave it to the Gentiles. Well, what's Elijah going to do to the Jews? He's going to go in that Old Testament. Remember, what is it in Zechariah or wherever we read not too long ago where it says, where did you get those scars? They'll take them right to that scripture. They'll take them to Malachi 4 and say, look, you missed that one. I believe they do have a ministry, but I believe they do know that Brother Branham came. I do believe that. God's going to have to reveal them to them that Brother Branham's already come and preached his part, because you got to deal with Malachi 4. When he deals with Malachi 4, them two prophets are going to say, look, John the Revelator spoke of us. Whether you believe it or not, he spoke of us coming. And there is even two olive trees spoke of in the Old Testament. All right, because this is what it says. We're going to read it in just a little while. But just to get you to see that, to me, this sixth seal just kind of keeps opening up a little more and opening up a little more and opening up a little more. Because you got to remember one thing. Brother Branham preached his heart out on the sixth seal. Preached his heart out. Wanted to preach on the trumpets. Wanted to preach on the seven trumpets. He kept saying, I want to get a building. I want to do this. And then God had to show him somewhere between there and the Feast of the Trumpets that he preached. Showed him that he'd already preached it supernaturally in the sixth seal. So all of those trumpets sound under the sixth seal. He had already preached them supernaturally. So that's what you and I need to see. We need to see, even though Brother Dale or myself or Brother Aaron or Brother Bob did a good job Wednesday night, give him another hand. Man, he did a good job. Brother Luis and all the ones, look at them, see them all coming together. That's God speaking to us. And when it's God speaking to us, then we can stand and know that there's a furtherment of the ministry, that there's a supernatural element underneath anything, whatever we're talking about, there's a supernatural element that you've got to catch. That's the thunder. That's the voice of God that speaks to you. Listen, the thunder's not for everybody. When Paul got struck down on the road to Damascus, did everybody hear the voice? Paul heard the voice because he was predestinated to hear the voice. Amen. Jesus stood one day. Bible said it thundered. Right? Said some heard a voice, but they didn't hear what it said. You and I, and sure, they maybe people that's associated around us that may hear a thunder. They may hear a rumbling, but they're not going to hear the voice. You and I are going to hear the voice of God speaking to each and every one of us. And when you take that voice and then you apply it to your life, that's why the trumpets, we'll get into it in just a minute. We'll talk about just for the trumpets for a little while, because that's what we based our message on today is the trumpets. Brother Brown said a trumpet is a war. It's a scriptural war. I'll read it to you. When a trumpet sounds, It's a scriptural war. You say, no, it calls it. Yeah, it calls Israel. Listen, when they were out in the battlefield, look, the only place before we had all this electronic stuff, the only way that a army could communicate with itself was blowing a trumpet. You remember the cavalry in the John Wayne movies? Terrence liked John Wayne. Who wouldn't like John Wayne movies? He liked John Wayne. No, Brother John liked John Wayne movies. But anyway, and that's all right. No big deal. But they would sound a certain trumpet, you'd know to retreat, or you'd sound a trumpet and it would advance. It'd sound a trumpet and something would happen. Every time a trumpet sounded, but you had to know what that trumpet meant. Other than that, you just heard a trumpet blow. That's the same way it is now. I was thinking while Bob was preaching, everybody knew who Joseph was. Remember, he was preaching Wednesday night. Everybody knew who Joseph was. Because he was the smartest guy. I mean, he was the... Pharaoh basically said, Joseph, you take care of the country, and I'm just going to sit here and be the king. I mean, if you had to get to Pharaoh, you got to Joseph. But they didn't get all the intricacies of Joseph. Number one, they didn't know he was a Jew at first, right? They didn't know his daddy had given him the coat of many colors. They in Egypt, the world, didn't know what I'm saying. I'm saying to you, as you walk through the world, that's what I was thinking when he was preaching, when you walk through the world, there's a lot more than just Samuel Dale being the pastor of Spoken Word Church and he lives in Gillsville, Georgia. There's a lot more goes to that. You're talking coat of many colors. You're talking about experiences in life, and I'm saying all of you. See, when this sixth seal opens, it's a total disruption of nature. It's a total disruption of your nature. The nature that you used to have should be dead. But there is still a nature that you got to work on. Amen? There still is a nature that we work on because you have to put that statue of perfect man right in this sixth seal. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. So let's read a few quotes. Number one, the sixth seal. Paragraph 125. Let's just read the red. And this is just all we're doing is backgrounding right here for a second. Compare scripture of this great event that will see this great secret or mystery that was under the sixth seal of the book of redemption. Now the great mystery. Now we know the mystery on the surface, the mystery, the seal. The part that had it sealed was those two prophets. But underneath there, there's something we need to understand. It's not going to put us in the rapture just to know that the two prophets are Moses and Elijah. And they're going to prophesy 1260 days. That's already in the Bible. But it's how that a prophet come and sounded a trumpet in the end time to get me and you out of here. To take us home. To get us out of the way so that the two prophets can come. So it has to be then the book of redemption. Now listen, we try to think sometimes, be a little narrow-minded, that the book of redemption is that New Testament. Man, that's where book of redemption started in the book of Genesis. It's the book of redemption. It's not the New Testament of redemption. It's the whole book of redemption, which is the whole 66 books in the Bible. Right? But sometimes we go, I was born again because I read Acts 2:38, right? That's okay. But there's more. There's more. If that Old Testament hadn't been there, look at all the types and shadows we could never use. Think about how many times we type and use the Old Testament. And you got to remember one thing's for sure. Paul didn't have a New Testament to write from. He was writing the New Testament from the Old Testament scrolls that he took on the backside of the desert and read them and brought Jesus Christ out of that. We say, that was just a bunch of lambs and a bunch of this and a bunch. That was all speaking of Christ. Amen. So that's what you and I, when we start seeing this seal, let's look, number one, on the surface. We have to look at the earthquakes, the blood, the fire, the smoke, and all these things because that's what's naturally going to happen. But that's not going to help us. I just thank God that we're going to be gone when all that's happening because that's a literal happening. But now under the sixth seal of the book of redemption. Now remember, these are hidden mysteries. And the sixth seal altogether is one great big book. Six scrolls. Because remember, look. Six seals finishes redemption. We were talking about that last Sunday. The sixth seal, all six seals finishes redemption. Because the seventh seal, there's nothing written. There's no motion. There's no action. There's no, it's just silence in heaven. For a space of a half an hour. That's all it was. That's not what's rolled up in the book. That is the book. That is the book. The seventh seal is the book. You can't do away with the seventh seal. But the six seals, these six seals finishes redemption. Alright, same as we were talking last Sunday about the sixfold purpose of Daniel. The six seals parallels perfectly with the sixfold purpose because what puts us in the millennium is what puts Israel in the millennium. Everybody got that? Say amen. Remember, we're talking about the 70 weeks of Daniel and how that people have it all messed up. They just don't understand what Brother Ram was talking about. Because you can't bring in everlasting righteousness during the Battle of Armageddon. You just can't. You can't place it. You can't place all these, the last three of the sixfold purpose. Now, we'll read it in a minute, but the doing away with iniquity, the sin, and all that stuff. I can see the two prophets standing on earth doing away, by the word of God, doing away with the sins of 144,000. But now that's for just 1,260 days. That's not for 7 years. That's just for 1,260 days. Amen? But there's stuff goes on after that. That's what the people in the message don't see. There is only 1,260 days of Jesus' ministry left on the earth. No doubt. No doubt. But there's 7 years left to finish the 70 weeks of Daniel. Now, that's according to the Bible. So if you want to argue, all I'm going to do is I'm going to take you to Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined to do what? Six things. Once those six things are finished, then their redemption is over. Just kind of plain and simple. But look, it's just six scrolls rolled together and unwinds the whole book of redemption. That's how the whole earth, now see, he brings the whole earth. The whole earth is redeemed under this seal. Amen? Is that all right? We're going to take my time a little bit today. That's okay. Number two. The sixth seal is the tribulation period. So when we start reading these trumpets and start paralleling the trumpets, know one thing's for sure. It will happen during that time that those two prophets are preaching. Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen? Amen? All right. The sixth seal is the tribulation period. That's what takes place. The bride is gone and there's no living creature. Nothing there to say it. Now, God is not dealing with the church no more. Now, we've already established that. I just want to read it again. It's been gone. Remember, we go up in Revelations 4:1. All right, not seeing the Revelations 19. This is when Israel receives the message of the kingdom by the two prophets of Revelations 11. Remember, Israel is a nation, God's servant nation, and when Israel is brought in, it'll be a national affair. Israel, the kingdom age, is where David, the son of David, sits on the throne. And as Brother Dale was talking about this morning, if you'll go back in the Old Testament, that is the promise is in the Old Testament. Amen. That the son of David, there would not be a time that there wouldn't be a son of David on the throne. Well, what's he going to do? He's going to come back into his part of his kingdom, sit on a literal throne, and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what it says in the Old Testament. The son of David, which will be Jesus Christ, will sit there judging the 12 tribes of Israel, or the 144,000, 12 times 12, in the millennium. Is that all right? And we'll be there on a honeymoon, his bride on the honeymoon. We're not there to any kind of national affair or anything. Sure, we can talk and do things, but it's not for us. We've already fulfilled everything we need to fulfill. You say, no, what about the future home? The future home is just an event. You've got the future home inside of you today because it says it was a bride adorned for her husband. You got your part of the future home, the street you're going to live on, the house you're going to live in, it's inside of you now. So we're done. Once we get this thing changed, we're done. There's nothing else. No gain or loss or, you know, we don't need another prophet to come and tell us anything. We don't need the two witnesses to come and tell us anything. 144,000. It's just going to be a wonderful day that when we go into that temple, when they build that temple and we go in as the anointing of the temple, that's what Brother Branham said, that we're the anointing of the temple, then what's going to happen is that temple's going to be set up for an example. Outer court, justification. Inner court, sanctification. Our outer court, inner court, and Holy of Holies, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We can explain to anybody that walks up, hey, this is what God wanted you to build, but this is not what he was building. He was building this. The outer court. The inner court. And the Holy of Holies. Amen. So there you're just a walking tabernacle. Amen. You're a walking city. You're it. That's why I said I'm like what Brother Dale says, we're looking for something to come when it's already here. I mean, the reason the future home's not coming down right now is because Scripture's got to be fulfilled. I mean, it's proven. They got to be 144,000 brought out of Israel, so that's got to happen. Then there's got to be a millennium. Then there's got to be a battle of Gog and Magog. All that's got to happen before the future home comes. But you've already got the future home in you now. You are the future home. There will be no one in that future home except you that lives there. No one else will live there. Now, people can come in and people can leave. But no one else would, us in the 144,000, which will be eunuchs, our servants, in that city, no one else will be in that city. Why? Because they're not part of it. You're part of it. You are that city. All right, let's go to number three. If it is so now, for we know that this sixth seal is the judgment seal. So true. Now we're going to read in the trumpets where all this is going to happen to the world. This is a worldwide event. Worldwide event. This is not just going to happen in a little spot called Israel. No, it's a worldwide event. All right? The sixth seal is a judgment seal. Even the foolish virgin are going to be hunted down and killed. There's going to be people killed during this 1260 days that these two prophets, like I said before, the nations watch them when they die and send gifts to each other. So the whole world knows about what's going on. All right? Because really, let's think in our terms right now. If you had two guys standing in one place, I don't think they're all going to both be together the whole time. You know, when one walks, no, they're going to be out in the city. But don't you think that the Mossad, CIA, FBI, Kremlin, whatever, what is that? How'd you know that? KGB. You look a little Russian to me, brother. The KGB. No, don't you think they're going to want to kill them two guys? There's only two guys. It's not like a million. It's two. And they know who they are because that guy, Moses goes out there and says, turn that river into red blood. And this thing just becomes red. Don't you think they'll know who they are? They're not going to be doing this in secret, what I'm saying, but for 1260 days, that anointing is going to be on them where they cannot die.
Right.
Oh, if we could get that anointing and understand that anointing, you and I will do the same thing.
Right. Amen.
Amen. But it's promised. It's not promised we're going to die. It's promised we're going to go up in the sky. Amen. So the sixth seal is a judgment seal. Judgment seal, exactly what it is. We had the Antichrist ride, seen the church go, now it's finished. Then we have the martyrs of them Jews back there under the altar. He's working his way through the seal. Now here is the breaking forth of the judgment upon the people. Where out of this tribulation judgment will come forth 144,000 redeemed Jews. I'll prove it to you, they are Jews and not Gentiles. They have nothing to do with the bride, not a thing. And that's correct, they're not bride. They're 144,000, they're servants. They're not bride. Remember, Israel, we went through that whole part where Israel give up. He divorced them. They cannot be his wife anymore. He can't take back a woman that has been defiled. He can't take her back to be a wife. All right? We done seen the bride go. We can't place that anywhere else. Don't come back until the 19th chapter of the book of, we know that's the book of Revelation. Now notice, for the sixth seal is the judgment seal of the word.
Right.
Amen? So we know then this sixth seal is the judgment seal of the word. And where does judgment begin?
Right.
At the house of God.
Right.
So we're under that sixth seal right now.
Right.
Our part of it.
Right.
We're under our part of the sixth seal every time you come into church.
Right.
Every time you read the word, every time somebody, we talk about things and it brings a judgment. The judgment seal of the words. All right, let's go now to Revelation. Let's read. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,203 score days. That's 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees. Now, I didn't reference that, but there's talks of two olive trees, I believe, over in... Aaron? Richard, ask Aaron. For those of you that weren't there last night, there was a question. If you had a question or if you were playing this game and you needed a lifeline, you needed somebody to call, who would it be you call? Well, it was scattered all over the place. But definitely Richard was going to call Aaron. And several other people was going to call Aaron. So anyway. But no, it does talk about in the Old Testament about the two olive trees. All right, so it's not something exclusive to the New Testament. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, which was Elijah, and have power over waters to turn unto blood, which is Moses, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Remember one thing, before natural Israel was let go out of Egypt, what happened? Plagues fell. All the plagues fell before Israel left Egypt. Same way with you and I. Same way with 144,000. God's just continued in his continuity all the way through. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them. Can I interpolate just a moment? That's all right. Go to Daniel 9. And he shall make confirm the covenant with many for what? 1 week. That's why there's 1 week left after the rapture. 1 week. But in the midst of the week, he will cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. That's it right there. Because there's 1,260 days left of the ministry of the two prophets. Once they're finished, that man is going to kill them in the middle of that week, of that last week. He is going to kill them, and then what's going to happen? The Battle of Armageddon is going to happen. Once the 144,000 go in a rapture, there's a Battle of Armageddon going to happen. Right? And look, that's not going to be a one-day battle. We were talking about this the other day. Listen, that's not a one-day battle. That's nuclear destruction. Just for a tidbit of information, it may take 3 years before everybody dies after the Battle of Armageddon. It's not going to be like the Battle of Gog and Magog where God's going to go come down and just kill the souls. He's just going to take care of everything, wipe it all off. God's fire is much hotter than a nuclear fire. But this is a nuclear explosion. And there will be time for it. That's why I say the 70 weeks of Daniel can't end at the Battle of Armageddon. There's still time. And whether you believe that or not, go back to the Bible. There's 1 week left in the signing of that treaty. And then in the midst of the week, it'll be cut off and he's going to kill the two prophets. Once he kills the two prophets, what's going to happen? They're going to what? Raise up in 3.5 days and then they're going in a rapture. Then what's going to happen? Then they're going to start pressing the buttons. Everybody's going to be mad at everybody else, and they're just going to start mashing nuclear power, nuclear weapons. You're going to, well, you're not, but they're going to see things that's never been seen before. Amen? All right, so now let's go to the next. Number four. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Man? I like what Bob said Wednesday night. Did y'all catch what that little tidbit he said Wednesday night? About being bored because of all this information somebody's given us on the seals. I know you're talking about me, Bob. Right? Tell him, Luis. But that's all right. This is what's putting this together so that we can understand. And it may be boring to some, and I've never been bored by teaching. I love teaching. I can sit and watch teaching. Sometimes it's all that other that I... Amen? Because you know why? I want to learn. And in learning, you need somebody to teach you. You need somebody to break it down. You need somebody to do that. And you know, he gives us all gifts to use. And I hope to God we're using them, everybody's using them right, because we need all five. We need all five, not just one. I could say something awful good right here. I just did. But I guess I'll hold it till tomorrow night. And I have power over the waters to turn them to blood, smite the earth with plagues as often they will. What is it? What can bring these things but the word? Now look, you would have thought he would have took that process and said, y'all moved it. What can bring these things but the two prophets? That's not what he said. He said that what can bring these things but the word. Listen, those two prophets are not just going to stand there and be totally illiterate. God's going to anoint the word that they have, just like God's going to anoint, come on people, God's going to anoint the word just like he anoints the word for you. He's going to anoint the word that you have, and one day we're going to have enough word to anoint to take this thing and change it. But that's exactly what they're doing. They can do nature any way they want to. Here it is. They're the one who brings on this sixth seal. They uncover and open it up. Now, they're not going to stand over there and go, we're the sixth seal and we're going to open it up. No, they're going to teach those 144,000. And like I said before, it's not just going to be 100. It's not just going to be two prophets with all the word and nobody else. There's 144,000 going to sit in a congregation or stand somewhere listening to what they say. And that word is going to become alive in their heart. And they're going to be able to speak. They're going to be able to do what these do. I just believe that. But these are two prophets. They're the ones that bring it on. They're the ones that open that sixth seal. Now, once you open a seal, it's not private anymore. It's public. Once you open a seal, we said before, once you pull that seal off, look, you can read. Everybody can read it. Amen? That's what we're doing now. That's the one who brings on the sixth seal. They uncover and open it. It's the power of God to interrupt nature. See, the sixth seal is completely an interruption of nature, because that's all it talks about. It's nature. Natural things. All right? Do you get it now? There's your seal. Who does it? It's the prophets, the other side of the rapture. So Brother Ram is placing them after the rapture. The two prophets. If you have any doubt, them two prophets are on the other side of the rapture. With the power of God, the word of God. Like I said, they're not just going to come up one day and stand out in the middle of Jerusalem. They're not just going to stand on the street and go, rain, fire, hail, earthquake. No, they're going to start preaching the gospel. And in preaching the gospel, it's going to bring these things to pass. You ever thought about this? What's going to cause California to sink? Because God just one day figures he's going to flip a switch and that California's going to hit the ocean. I noticed last night. Did y'all notice last night? Yeah. Terrence read the question and said, where would you take your wife on a honeymoon if you had three destinations? One was Paris, one was Honolulu, and one was Los Angeles. Nobody chose Los Angeles. For some silly reason. Nobody chose Los Angeles. So anyway, but they're doomed. And look, we snigger about it, but listen, that's millions of people going to die real quick. But it's because of what they did. And God knew they would, and he put a prophet on the earth, just like the two prophets that's going over there. That prophet stood and condemned Los Angeles. So Los Angeles will go under the ocean. Amen? But it hadn't yet. Why? Because we're still here. So who's going to bring on that earthquake? I am. The I am is going to do it. Who can send earthquakes, turn the moon into blood, sun can go down, or anything at their command? Amen. There you are. See how the seals opened down there in the church ages, how it showed the martyrs. And now here's these two prophets standing here with the word of God to do anything to nature they want to, and they shake the earth. Now, I believe they're going to shake the earth with the gospel first.
Right.
It has to be, like I said about a trumpet. A trumpet denotes a battle, a scriptural war.
Right.
When Luther came on the scene, a trumpet sounded.
Right.
A spiritual war happened. Right. If you don't believe that, I've got the quote right here. I'll read it to you in just a minute. Or either I got it, I may have left it back there for next Sunday. And it shows exactly who does it. It's Moses and Elijah, because there's their ministry reimpersonated again. Both men, oh my, do you see it now? Now see what the sixth seal is? It's those two prophets.
Right.
Now notice, don't let it choke you, but watch what opened that seal. Prophets. You know why he said don't let it choke you? Because there stood a prophet.
Right.
Behind that pulpit, making that statement, and he was opening the seals to a Gentile church. He's not a Jewish prophet. He's a Gentile prophet to a Gentile church. So he was talking to me and you. See, amen, there you are. Oh, we're living in the eagle day. See, he's identifying it right there. We're living in the eagle day, brother, head up among the clouds. They open that sixth seal. They have power to do it. There's your sixth seal coming open. Is that all right? Amen. All right, next. Let's look at Daniel right here. 70 weeks are determined. Let's just for a second, and then we'll get into the trumpets. Everybody all right?
Amen.
70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to do six things. One, finish transgression. Two, make an end of sin. Three, make reconciliation for iniquity. And I stopped right there in the red because you can't bring in everlasting righteousness with all heck breaking loose under the battle of Armageddon. Bringing in everlasting righteousness, Brother Brown says, is going heading toward into the millennium. That's bringing in everlasting righteousness. Listen, that's what the Jews are looking for. They never heard. Remember what sounded before the 50th Jubilee was to take place? A trumpet. They never got that trumpet sounded to bring in their Jubilee. Their Jubilee was the millennium that they never got to. Now, they had the land that would rest, and every 7 years you had something happen. But the Bible says in Leviticus, I'm going through and reading Leviticus again to get the feast days and all down. But what happened? Seven Sabbaths, which is 49, and then you halleth the 50, then the trumpet sound for the 50th Jubilee. They never celebrated the 50. Why? Because you had to give everything back that you had. And a Jew ain't going to do that. A natural Jew's not, but a spiritual Jew will. Amen? So what's going to happen? The two prophets are going to preach 1260 days to finish the transgression of Israel. Because this is to the Jews. This is Daniel and thy people in the holy city, right? Thy people, Jews, and upon thy holy city. Because remember, there's a city to be built, according to Ezekiel 40-44, there's a millennial temple to be built by the Jews.
Right.
Everybody all right with that? Say amen. So that thy holy city, because look, if they drop a bomb in the Vatican, remember, they're going to atomic bomb, they're not going to leave Israel out. They're going to drop one down that Mosque of Omar, and the whole city of Jerusalem is just going to be flat rubble. So that's really not talking about that city, because he's restoring. Not destroying, he's restoring. So they got to build that millennial temple. They got to have the 7 years left, because 3.5 of it is took up by bringing Israel back to their day of atonement. They got to come to that day of atonement. You and I had to come to a day of atonement. Not the killing of the lamb, but to realize that Christ already... Amen. Christ already died for you. He didn't have to in 1998. He didn't have to crawl up on the cross and die for me again. No, I had to realize it under the Feast of Atonement. Under that Day of Atonement, there was a day I realized that Christ had already died for me. You don't re-kill the lamb. It's a mourning for the kill that's already happened. So what's the two prophets going to do? They're not going to preach Christ is going to be crucified and Christ is going to come. He's already come.
Right.
They've already killed. They killed their lamb 2,000 years ago.
Right.
It was my lamb too.
Come on, brother.
But the two prophets has to tell them, That's where you turned him down. So what? Finished a transgression. Where did they transgress? Right there at Calvary. Where did they make their sin? Let his blood be on us and our children, Brother Brown said. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. He said that's where God had to literally blind their eyes so that you and I could come in. Amen? Literally blinded their eyes so you and I could come in. So he had to do this. God had to save Israel. He said, I'll never forget them. Right? I'll never forget them. How can a woman, I read you the scripture, what about that? How can a woman that had a baby deny that she had a baby? Can't do that. So how could God deny that he had this wife at one time? But he divorced her. But that was his children though. That was his people. Then, after the 1260 days, the middle of the 70th week, he comes to bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, because it won't be prophecy anymore.
Hallelujah.
It won't be prophecy anymore. Right. It'll be a reality.
Right.
Listen, Malachi 4 is not a prophecy.
Right.
It's already come to pass.
Amen.
And to anoint the most holy, and if you'll read your Daniel 70 weeks book, Brother Brown said, the anoint the most holy is us walking into the millennial temple, going into the millennium.
Amen.
So, the sixfold purpose puts them in the millennium. We get a revelation of the six seals, we're going to take a rapture.
Amen.
Amen. That's their full redemption because look, their full redemption, listen, mine and your full redemption is for this thing to be changed.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We are not guaranteed a city.
Right.
We're not even guaranteed a piece of land. But they are. Thy people and upon thy holy city. There's only one holy city to God and that's Jerusalem. So he's going to actually restore them and, cause see, look, we don't get a promise. He's not going to restore the United States of America. Yet we are a nation. Yet we're supposed to be a godly nation. Yet we have land. We're not promised that, but Israel is promised that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city. In other words, to bring all of it back. That millennial temple is not going to be built in China or the United States. It's going to be built right there. Right there in Jerusalem. So he's going to restore the people in the 1260 days. Then the Battle of Armageddon is going to happen. And then whatever you think happens, here's my thought. Listen, a Jew can only build a temple. We can't build temples. We don't, well, how? We don't know how to build temples. But Jews from the day they were born knows that there's an outer court, inner court, and holy holies and what the dimensions are.
Right.
So what if the 144,000 comes back down here and builds the temple while we're still up there?
Right.
And then we come walking right back into that temple and head right into the millennium. How beautiful is that? Because my bride's not going to build my house. Right? I'm going to pay somebody to build it. I'm going to have hired servants. All right? That's what I said. We're in a honeymoon. We don't have to do anything as the bride of Jesus Christ, but I believe in 144,000. And you can say whatever you want to about the fifth seal Jew, heathen. This is not for us to discuss and talking about the seals. But they can build that temple, and then here we come right down into it.
Right.
And we're the anointing to the temple. How about that? What a time lays ahead for us. Now let's look at where Brother Brown talks in number 5. In the 70th year of Daniel, or 70th week rather, coming to an end of sin, put it away. You understand now. What's the first? To finish the transgression, to make an end of sin. Number 3, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Use writing it down. Had about 6 scriptures going on down. Look, number 86. To make reconciliation for iniquity. Iniquity is doing wrong as they did at the cross. He made reconciliation. Because remember, he's the only one that can reconcile because he's the one that blinded them. Right here, look. He made reconciliation, but it will not be applied to them. In other words, at Calvary, they turned him down. So the 2,000 years of a Gentile church was not to Israel. They're getting their 1,260 days later. Why? It was not applied to them. Why? Because they were blinded and could not see it. And why did they blind? You say, well, maybe today I'm because I'm blind. You're willfully blind.
Right.
They were blind because God blinded them.
Right.
You're willfully blind. If you're blind, there's no reconciliation for you. But that there is reconciliation when daddy, when the father puts his hand over the kid's eyes and says, I got to take a Gentile bride. But you know what? I'm going to release my hand one day. There's going to be 1,260 days, and I'm going to preach and bring 144,000 people out of this chaos. And I'm going to put them in a millennium. Let's go to the next one, Feast of the Trumpets. Now, this may get a little technical, so I may slow down just for a few minutes, if that's all right. If I'm boring you, you can go home. Okay. Pentecost feast finished at the period of the seventh trumpet. Pay attention. For the next is the coming of the seventh seal. For the next is the mystery of the coming of Christ. Because what is the seventh seal? The seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. Okay? Is that all right? That's why they, on their seventh trumpet, they get the coming of the Lord. They don't get the coming we get, but they still get a coming. The Lord has to come and pick them 144,000 and two people up and take them in a rapture. They don't pick themselves up and go in a rapture. God has to come and pick them up and take them in a rapture. So they do get a coming. For the next is the mystery of the coming of Christ, and also the trumpet is sound for the Jews. Now remember, we hear, listen to me, we hear a gospel trumpet. That's what births you into the body on your day of Pentecost. You have a day of Pentecost.
Amen.
On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost fell on you. Amen? You got a day of Pentecost. So we're now listen, we're living now under the Feast of the Tabernacles. Tabernacles. Not booths. They had a literal day where they sat in a booth for so many days. No, God lived in your booth. Their sixth trumpet is sound, and when it does, it makes known to them the revealed Son of God. 1.5 hour silence. Remember, all trumpets sound on this sixth seal. The sixth seal finishes the mystery under the sixth seal just before the seventh is open. Now, listen, remember, a trumpet, when a trumpet sounds, it denotes a spiritual or scriptural war.
Right.
But there was a trumpet that sounded for Israel to get up and move or stop. Remember, the priest would stand out, blow the trumpet, and we would move. The pillar of fire would move. The priest would see it. Come on. That's what's happening now. The ministry catches the pillar of fire moving.
Right.
Blows the trumpet on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Wednesday, and whatever time you match play. Because it's a scriptural war, a spiritual war. So all trumpets sound under the sixth seal. So all of our trumpets, everything we need is going to end on the sixth seal. Sixth seal finishes redemption. How can you go any further than that? Our redemption, though, is a body change. Their redemption is to go to messengers going over there, preaching 1,260 days, and bringing them, what, to the Feast of Atonement.
Right.
All right, that okay. Pentecost feast finished at the period of 77th trumpet. So look, the Feast of Pentecost, on the when the day of Pentecost was fully come 2,000 years ago, on, not on Azusa Street. I'm talking about 2,000 years ago when the Holy Ghost fell on 120. That was literally on the day of Pentecost. By the Jewish time and by the Jewish calendar. Christ was absolutely killed on the day of Passover. The next day was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The next day was the Feast of First Fruits because he's the first one to come up out of the ground. I love it. First one to come up out of the ground and then 50 days later, from the Passover, he comes back on the day of Pentecost and comes into the believer. That's why Penta is 5, Pentecost 50. All right. So on the day of Pentecost, we got our Pentecostal feast. They're going to get their Pentecostal feast. Amen. They got to get a Pentecostal feast. They got to get the new birth. They missed the one. I've got a quote, but it's, I don't want to read it. And I need to take some time with it where Brother Branham explains that. See, we got our Feast of Pentecost. Then he, but it wasn't to them. He blinded their eyes as a nation. So that Feast of Pentecost wasn't to them. They're waiting on their Feast of Pentecost.
Amen.
But you and I got to come to what? Feast of Tabernacles.
Right.
To get out of here.
Right.
So that God can come back and give them their Pentecostal feast. Because
right.
They've not had their Pentecostal feast before.
Right.
But them 144,000 will have a Pentecostal feast.
Glory.
Amen? Is everybody okay with that? I know it's a lot of information, but it's leading up to the trumpets. Just before the seventh seal's open. Because remember, I'll read you a quote in a minute, maybe at the very end, where Brother Bram says the seventh seal is the same as the seventh trumpet.
Right.
The seventh seal to us is the same as the seventh trumpet to Israel. And we'll not read that today to save time. I don't want to take much more time. But let's read them. Okay, here's the trumpets. And we may get into a few of them. I may read through them and then we can go back over them. Is that okay?
Amen.
I don't want to hold you much longer than an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So these are angels that were given seven. Everybody wake up!
Right.
Seven trumpets, thank you. There was a whole row back there went. Let's have a resurrection. I know it's hot. Hey, it's hot up here, and we just ate, and bless your heart. I know it's tough. But listen. I'll let y'all come up here and preach it. It'd be exciting for you to come up here and do it. You won't go to sleep, I promise. There is something. Let me just stop right here. Brother Dale's going to get a car allowance. They ought to be a bathroom allowance for that room right in there. Brother Terrence Dale. Because it's hard. If you got to. Anyway. Bob said, get a bucket. Where's he from? Monica, does he? I'm not even going to ask. Get a bucket. What do you mean get a bucket? Are you awake now? Everybody awake? Okay. Esther, why is the face so red for him? I'm talking about your daddy, not you. So here we have seven angels that are given seven trumpets. So they're given seven different things they got to do. All right, but now watch what all seven are. Well, we're going to read most of them. And it all parallels right with what's going to happen. Because remember, all trumpets, all of them sound under the sixth seal. And the sixth seal is those two prophets prophesying 1260 days. Right? Amen? We're all caught up here now. And that's why Brother Brown said God told him he preached these supernaturally. He didn't read these. But supernaturally under that seal, he preached every one of these.
Right.
Because he was going to take each one. And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, they're not for you.
Right.
The trumpets are not to you.
Right.
They're to the Jews. So then Brother Brown comes and does a masterful job in preaching the Feast of the Trumpets. He brings them all into that one. All right. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense. That he should offer it with prayers, because remember, what is incense? Incense is the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now remember, this is a scene. And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Now remember, we're not there.
Right.
We're in another dimension.
Right.
We're the bride. This has nothing to do with us.
Right.
Now spiritually, we can read this and see that happens to us in a form or in a way.
Right.
But that is not talking about the prayers of the saints. It's not us.
Amen.
We're already gone.
Right.
It's the prayers of the saints that's all still on the ground, still down on the earth.
Right.
And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth where there were voices and thundering and lightning and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Listen, you don't hear a... You hear a voice. Brother Dale read it the other day. John heard a trumpet. Heard the voice. Turned to see. He wasn't going to stand over and see a guy blowing a horn. No, he saw a guy with a message. Christ. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. Now look, this is all done, this is all natural. And the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire. Remember what we read in Revelations, what the two prophets are to do. Hold that right there, and I'm going to read them. And I beheld when it opened the sixth seal. You don't go back to it, brother. In the back, there was a great earthquake. We already figured that out. Got an earthquake up here. Sun became black, and the moon became as blood. Stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, like shaking of the mighty wind. Heavens departed as a scroll. Every mountain and island were moved out of their places, cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. We just read it right here. So it's the same parallel. Awful time, because remember, this is the wrath of God poured out on a sinless world. Now there's 144,000 protected and two. You got to include them two prophets. There's 144,000 and two that's protected. Nobody else is. They're getting all these plagues. Even the foolish virgin. Everybody. And the second angel sounded as it were a great mountain burning with fire is cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. Why? Because they can't live off of blood. How horrible was that going to be? And the third part of the ships were destroyed. A third of all the ships in the world are going to be destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven. That's what we're reading right here. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, burning as it were a lamp. They've always said for years that asteroids would hit the earth. And they said that's what happened back, they say, what caused all the, dinosaurs to die and all that stuff. No, it wasn't an asteroid. It was the flood. It was the wrath of God at the beginning. Same thing. Amen? But if you'll notice, he comes to a third part. Now, remember he promised he wouldn't destroy the world with water anymore. He's destroying it with everything this time. And the third angel sounded, there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, which is bitter. And many of the men died of the water because they were made bitter. So what? Listen, you can live for a long time without food. But you can't live but what, 7 days without water? That's a short period of time. You're talking about from today till next Sunday, you can't live that long without water. Right. Now, a lot of us can live without food. Yeah. For several months. Brother Chris is smiling. He says, amen. Some of us longer than others. Christine would be in trouble. Sister Christine. And the name of the star was Wormwood, third part of the water. Listen, we laugh, but this is literally going to happen to this earth. Because the wrath of God, because man has turned God down, this is what's going to happen. Right. And the fourth angel sounded. Now listen, all these are sounding while those two prophets are on earth. Because we're going to read here in a minute, we'll prove that the 144,000 are still here during that time. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, third part of the stars. And so was the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not. Right here. And heavens departed as a scroll, and every mountain, and it says right here, the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. I'm reading sixth seal. So the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Remember, that's four. There's three more to sound. All right? But now look, Brother Branham told us what these woes were.
Right.
World War I, World War II, and World War III.
Right.
Two's already sounded. This one has sounded under all, coming to this. Now that's World War I. But you gotta remember, World War I ended. But what did it begin? It began World War II. World War II is gonna begin World War III. Because what? Everything's in place. Man is placing things in different places, and then what's going to happen? World War I, World War II, and then we're not going to be here for World War III.
Right.
The bride will be gone. 144,000 are going to be gone. Isn't that going to be a horrible time? Because when 144,002 leave this earth, no Holy Ghost, no one,
right.
no man with a Christian, born again soul will be on this earth. Out of 7 billion, which probably won't be but about 4 billion once this is all over with, there'll be that many people on earth and not one will be a Christian. Not one. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavens saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Let's continue. And the fifth angel sounded. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. This one's got a key. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit. Now, what's the bottomless pit? Hell. Right? The bottomless pit is hell. Alright? And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Anybody ever been bit by a scorpion? Yeah. It feels good, doesn't it? And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, nor any tree. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. There's only one group of people during this period of time that has the seal of God in their forehead, which is the Holy Ghost. That's the 144,000 and two. So there they are. They're here during this whole time. Well, we know that. Well, the Bible's telling us this. Hurt everybody but those 144,000 and two.
Yeah.
You can hurt everybody you want to but them. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And the torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their face was the faces of men. And they had hairs, the hair of women. You know what Brother Ram said about that? Anybody know what he said about that? He said, that's him long, he's tormenting them long haired men and the short haired women. I put the long haired man in because it is. And the short haired women, he said, that's given for their torment. And their teeth as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle. You think maybe that's a war fixing to happen, the helicopters or the airplanes? We'll see. Well, we won't see, but maybe somebody can tell us about it. Many horses run into battle, and they had tails like in the scorpions, and there were stingers on their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which was the angel of the bottomless pit. So who is that? That's the old devil, but he's incarnate now in a pope. Because remember, this is during that time. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. All right? Let's read what Brother Brown said about this, and then we'll close. Feast of the Trumpets. Now, this calling of the Feast of Trumpets, the approaching of something, notice Revelations 8:7 if you want to write it down. We notice the first trumpet, there scattered hail, blood, fire upon the earth. Just exactly with Exodus when God was calling his people out of the Exodus. Everybody understand that? Say amen. That's when Israel was in Egypt. And all these plagues fell before they left. All right? Same way is going to happen to his people again. All these plagues are going to happen before he takes his people. All right? Now, the reason that these seven trumpets does not apply to this church and this age is because it's to Israel only. It's the calling of the gathering of the people through the two witnesses. And now there's only one significance in here that I want you to get to in a few minutes is where you'll see why this doesn't apply to this age that we're living in, the seven trumpets. The gathering of Israel is the trumpets. The trumpets is to gather Israel. Notice the very first trumpet sound, blood, fire, hail, and everything scattered the ground. What is he doing? Bringing Israel out of spiritual Egypt back into his homeland. That's what happened to you. That's what happened to you. Oh, did you come in a flower bed of ease? Was it just a real wonderful thing when you came to the Lord? Yeah, it was a wonderful thing when you came to the Lord, but boy, afterwards. Goodness gracious. They wasn't days you felt like all that was breaking loose on you. If you hadn't, you got it coming. Now, let me say this right here. Because look, what called Israel back to the homeland? the trumpets. What called us back to our homeland. Our homeland is not a place. Our homeland is the Word of God. He called the trumpet sounds to call us back to the Word of God. All right? Now let me see right here. Every trumpet that blowed under the sixth seal. We'll get to it in a few minutes where we caught the seal. All the trumpets sounded under the sixth seal. All right, let's go to number 8. Still in the Feast of the Trumpets. Now notice, the trumpet sounded, and that was to gather them together. Now the first trumpet blow, there was hail fire sprayed upon the earth, just exactly like it was in Egypt, making ready to call them to the Day of Atonement. They rejected the true atonement. We just talked about that. They rejected Calvary. That was the true atonement. Listen, there was a Day of Atonement back in the Old Testament. That was a type. That was a type. Because our Day of Atonement, they rejected the true atonement, and this year has been linked, these years has been lengthened out through, has been the year of Pentecost. So what's he saying? We had Pentecost, right here, look. We had Pentecost 50 days after Jesus died, ascended, come back on the Day of Pentecost. This wasn't to the Jews. They rejected this. But they got to come to their Feast of Pentecost. Right. But we've lived, it's been a Pentecost all the way through 2,000 years of seven church ages. Right. Amen? Right. They've not had theirs. So what they're going to do, the two prophets are going to call them into the Feast of Pentecost before they can receive the atonement. Right. They can't just mourn for Jesus and don't know who he is. They don't know who he is now. But when they have their Pentecost, when that man comes into their soul, and then they call them to the Feast of Atonement where they say, oh my gosh, we're in trouble. We killed the very Messiah that we've been looking for. And he says, don't worry. He said, where'd you get those scars? He said, in the house of my friends. This has been the calling out of the church. I'm sorry. This year's has been lengthened out through here, has been the year of Pentecost. See, now sounding, for the Jews comes next. God's not dealt with the Jews during this whole 2,000 years of church ages. Sure, there's been some natural Jews come in. Sure. But not the nation of Israel. But he's getting ready to deal with them. Through two prophets. What's God doing in the end time? Dealing with us through a prophet. The prophet. The Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet. I was thinking about what Brother Dale was talking about. You know, the Son of Man denotes one person. Right? I know collectively we're the body, but there was only one man that wasn't born from another man. We're all sons. We're all sons that were born from another man. You understand what I mean? A seed from an individual, a man, brought into the bed and ground of the woman, and then the Son of Man didn't have an earthly father. So he's the Son of Man. But now when you're born again and your body's changed, you don't have an earthly father. You know, Brother Branham said, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. Not denying his natural birth, but he saw where his birth really took him to. So that's just a point there. Just wanted to throw that in. This has been the calling out of the church, watch real close now, which afterwards he took them to the land of promise, which he took them to the promised land, which he will do the same thing which in symbol he takes the church to the land of promise. Remember, he takes us to the land of promise.
Glory.
We're in Canaan, but we got to fight for every inch of the ground that we got. We got to fight for it. So will Israel. All right, let's go. Let's read another one. Number 9. I think this is the last one, and then we'll stop. Note, in Revelations the 9th chapter and the 13th verse, now notice real close under the 6th trumpet, Revelations 9:13, under the 6th trumpet, note, there were 200,000, now this is the 6th trumpet, under the 6th trumpet,
right?
There were 200,000 horsemen, it's really 200,000 horsemen, that had been bound in the river of Euphrates, was turned loose under the 6th trumpet. Now, there's not 200,000 horsemen in the world, but there are 200,000 horsemen. I want you to jot this down so you can read it. They weren't natural horses. They breathed fire. They had breastplates of jasper, and they had tails, and the end of their tail looked like a serpent, a snake's head on the end of a sting. And see, it was spiritual horses spiritual devils. Chargers that had been bound in Euphrates all these years, supernatural demons. What was it? The old Roman Empire being revived. The persecution of the Jews. They had been bound for nearly 2,000 years at the river Euphrates. Can't cross to the promised land. Remember the... Boy, this is wonderful. Remember the Tigris and Euphrates River run right through where? The Garden of Eden. They couldn't cross over because of these demons. You and I cross over into that promised land. The Garden of Eden. What Brother Brown saying in the Christ the Mystery Garden of Eden? The threefold purpose? To take us where? Take us back to Eden. That was the last one. Take us back to the Garden of Eden. Euphrates, you know, came through Eden. I just said that. Can't cross a religious sect that was trying to get to the other side. Euphrates, you know, come through Eden. But they were bound there, 200,000 demons of persecution. And notice what happened under that sixth trumpet. They were turned loose on the Jews, the persecution of the Jews. Supernatural devils, nearly 2,000 years then loosed by Stalin, Hitler upon the Jews. You say, well, that isn't Rome. It's the same spirit. They done the same thing they did to the Christians in the old pagan Roman days. Now watch the natural Israel and the spiritual church now, as we separated here, turned loose on the Jews. Now we know he that quote continues on, but I wanted to stop right there for save time because I want to read you something else real quick right here. They don't have this, but if they can pick it up. some of you were looking a little strange when Brother Brown said this. 1962, is this the sign of the end, sir? Brother Brown said, the sounding of the trumpet means gospel trumpet. And the sounding of the trumpet in the Bible means get ready for a scriptural war. Scriptural war. Paul said, if you want to put this down, 1 Corinthians 14:8, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, how will a man know what to prepare for? And if it doesn't have a scriptural sound, a vindication of the word of God made manifest, how will we know we're at the end time? We've had that trumpet. We know where we are. Israel does not know where they are. The world doesn't know where they are. Denominations don't know where they are. We're the only people that have an absolute north point. And we're headed to that. Is this the sign of the end? 1962, paragraph 269. Notice, if it gives an uncertain sound, unscriptural, who can prepare himself? But a trumpet, did you notice, each one of these ages, as I told you about the church coming in, there was a trumpet sounded, a seal tore loose, and a trumpet means war. If it don't give a scriptural sound, what about it? Now, Feast of the Trumpets, I'm going to read this real quick, and then we'll close. Musicians, come on. Feast of the Trumpets, 1964, paragraph 155. Notice now, exactly the continuity of the scripture, exactly the same. Under the seventh trumpet is to Israel the same as the seventh seal was to the church. We find under the seventh seal that when those souls that were under the altar there received robes, they were given robes, not that they earned them, because they were in dispensation when God was still dealing with grace with the Gentiles, not the Jews. Israel is saved as a nation. God deals with Israel as a nation.
Right.
Gentiles is a people. All
right,
Feast of the Trumpets, paragraph 222. See the atonement. Watch. The atonement followed the trumpet sound. They're going to have to hear those two prophets. That trumpet has got a sound. They've got to hear the word of God to realize that the atonement has already been made.
Exactly right.
Amen? So that's what they're going to preach. You say, what are them two prophets going to preach? They're going to preach Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They're going to preach the word of God. They're going to preach. They're not going to sit over and bash their head and say, oh, you miss it, you bunch of dummies. No, they said, hey, your time is now.
Right.
This is just for you. Yeah. You know what? If I was one of them two prophets, I'd jump up on the highest mountain. I'd say, come up here with me. Look all over the world. Right. There's nobody left but you.
Right.
Nobody.
Right.
Rome's not going to get it. They're going to persecute you, in other words. But you're it.
Right.
You are 12,000 out of 12 tribes that's going to get this message. And then we're going to leave this place. Don't worry, church. We're going to leave this place.
Right.
Whatever persecution's coming, let it come.
Right.
But we're going to leave this place.
Right.
Now look, paragraph 224. Now the trumpets is to call them back. Let's stand to our feet. The trumpet is to call them back to that atonement. See, the atonement they rejected. And they rejected so that our eyes could be open.
theirs was closed. And during this time, those seals opened up and the trumpets blowed. And now in the blowing of the trumpets, just before the Messiah comes, because we've got to be, and they've got to be in Palestine. And you remember God had to harden Pharaoh's heart. That's the same thing he done with Stalin and Hitler. He hardened their heart to drive the Jews back to the homeland.
Right.
Where the 144,000 is supposed to be. Let's listen one more from the rapture in 1965. The message calls the bride together.
Glory.
The shout and the trumpet, the same one. With a loud voice, he screamed out with a shout and a voice and woke Lazarus. And with a loud voice, he cried, Lazarus, come forth. And the voice wakes up the sleeping bride,
right,
the sleeping dead. And the trumpet, with the sound of the trumpet, and when it does, it calls. Always a trumpet called Israel to the Feast of the Trumpets,
right,
which was a Pentecostal feast, the great feast in the sky. And the Feast of Trumpets, now a trumpet do announce a calling together. Now watch the assembling together, the bride, the Feast of the Trumpets, the wedding supper. We have seen it in type. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to see it in its fullness.
Right.
Amen.
Glory.
There's your trumpets.
Right.
We'll go through the last three again, because I want to get to that sixth trumpet again, where the 200,000 demons. But listen, we're living. We're living in a great day.
Glory.
We're living in a time where we should hardly have any questions about anything.
Right.
If you'll just study a little bit,
right,
how in the world can God bring confusion? How? If you're confused, it's not God. That's pretty simple. If you're confused about what I just said, pray. God said, if you got the Holy Ghost, I'll show you things to come. I'll show you the Word. And if Brother Branham preached it, I believe we can preach it. If he preached it, it's not an exclusion.
Right.
We're included in this.
Glory.
And we ought to be able to understand it. I know nobody understood it while he was preaching it, but he said there'd be a group that would.
Right.
There'd be some people standing in the end time that would understand what's going on.
Right.
The seals would open to us in its spiritual form.
That's right.
It didn't back then. That made to a prophet. But it didn't. He didn't even have 104, much less 144,000. Maybe we shouldn't have big heads, never.
Right.
But we should realize that it's got to come through you.
Right.
This message has to be made alive. Like I said last Sunday, when Christ was on earth, sure, he had a physical flesh body, but he had no church body. He had no body.
Right.
He was the head, but he had no body.
Right.
He had to come back in spirit form to build a body.
Right.
Now he's got a body. And now the head can come down on that body,
right,
connect and take us out of here. Let's sing a song.
Amen. Hey, sing 311. Everybody will be happy over there.
Oh my goodness.
There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon their glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy, will happy over there. We will shout and sing. Fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne in the land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in the triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Shout it, sing it.
singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing His praise. Everybody will be happy over there. There will meet the one who saved us and who kept us by His grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise His name forever as we look upon His face. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praise. Everybody will be happy over there. There's a happy land, there's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Sisters, brothers will be singing around the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in the triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there.
By His grace, and who brought us to that land so bright and fresh. We will praise His name forever as we look upon His face. Everybody will be happy over.